ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So today we are reading from 5th canto, chapter 10. The name of chapter is Maharaj Rahugna meets Jad Bharat, text number 10. Sthaulyam Karsyam Vyadhaya Adhayascha. Shuttugbhayam Kaliritcha Jaracha. Nidraratim Anyuhur Ahamadha Shucho. Dehe na jatasya hime na santi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: fatness, thinness, bodily and mental distress, thirst, hunger, fear, disagreement, desire for material happiness, old age, sleep, attachment for material possessions, anger, lamentation, illusion and identification of the body with the self are all transformations of the material coverings of the spirit soul. A person absorbed in the material bodily conception is affected by these things. But I am free from all bodily conceptions. Consequently, I am neither fat nor skinny, nor anything else you have mentioned. Purport: Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Deha Smriti Nahi Yahar, Samsara Bandhan Kaha Tar. One who is spiritually advanced has no connection with the body or with the bodily actions and reactions. When one comes to understand that he is not the body and therefore is neither fat nor skinny, one attains the topmost form of spiritual realization. When one is not spiritually realized, the bodily conception entangles one in the material world. At the present moment, all human society is laboring under the bodily conception. Therefore, in the Shastras, people in this age are referred to as Dvipada Pashu or two-legged animals. No one can be happy in a civilization conducted by such animals. Our Krishna conscious movement is trying to raise fallen human society to a status of spiritual understanding. It is not possible for everyone to become immediately self-realized like Jad Bharat. However, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.18, Nashta Parayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By spreading the Bhagavat principles, we can raise human society to the platform of perfection. When one is not affected by the bodily conceptions, one can advance to the Lord's devotional service. Nashta Parayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. The more we advance our freedom from the bodily conception, the more we are fixed in devotional service, and the more we are happy and peaceful. The more we are fixed in devotional service, and more we are happy and peaceful. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says that those who are too materially affected continue the bodily conception. Such persons are concerned with different bodily symptoms. Whereas one freed from the bodily conceptions lives without the body, even in the material conditions. Sthaulyam Karsyam Vyadhaya Adhayascha. Just now, recently, means in our narration, this Jada Bharat was chastised by Maharaj Rahugna and he was chastised sarcastically. Because Jada Bharat, although externally very strong and stout, he had very muscular limbs. But still he was not carrying the palanquin properly. He was carrying improperly. And therefore Mother Raghuna was being disturbed in his journey. Sometimes when the road had potholes, then although we were in good vehicle, but we get disturbed because of moving up and down, braking. Similarly, Mother Raghuna was also feeling some similar experiences. And sometimes we curse the potholes or the municipality or whoever it is. Sometimes we say sarcastically, what a wonderful roads are they. In a similar way, Maharaj Raghuna was sarcastically cursing Jada Bharat. Oh, it appears that you are very lean and thin and you are very tired, although he was completely opposite to it. So after hearing all this, Jada Bharat speaks up and he gives these some qualities which all relate to the bodies. He says fatness, thinness. If we observe this present day material civilization, the whole consciousness of this world, of all the human society, if we see this list, there is nothing outside this list which the human society is doing. We see many times advertisement, lose, gain weight within 30 days or money back. They say both a fat man and a thin man. So either want to change their weight. One who is fat wants to lose the weight. One who is thin wants to gain the weight. Or increase. We can't decrease, but the height. There is a great craze. Once you are very tall, there is no scope to decrease the height. But at least there is a great craze to increase the height. People want to appear very tall. And they make up their sometimes dress and other paraphernalia to make themselves very tall. So, and bodily distress, there is a big medical industry, is a big industry. In Kali Yuga, everyone has some part of bodily distress. Beginning from hair, eyes, nose, ears, teeth, tongue, throat, chest, neck, back, upper back, lower back, hips, slip disc, legs, weakness, sprain, and something in the nails of the leg. If you observe, everyone is having some problem with this whole list. Somebody has neck, somebody has back. So therefore we see so many clinics opening up daily. And this is the last industry which will fail in business, the medical industry. Now, all other industry may fail, they may lose their customers. Like few years back in United Kingdom, there was some economic recession. So the architect, the structure engineers, or some other people were feeling the heat of it. But medical industry was the safest one. Because people are going to fall sick in Kali Yuga, and they will be having these bodily diseases. And therefore we see even a maximum money is paid to become doctors. And lawyers also, but more of doctors. And mental distress, which is also picking up today's age. People are having everything, but they are having mental distress. Sometimes people accuse that, you see, what are you doing for undernourished people? They say there are so many people in some parts of Maharashtra, children, they are dying because of undernourishment, malnutrition. But we are doing something for all. If you see the world, only 10 or 5% of deaths happen because of malnutrition. And 95% of deaths happen because of overnourishment. Obesity, heart attacks. That is a big chunk actually. And this happens in all the wealthy society or affluent society or in cities where all the facilities are there. So which is more important? 5% of death because of malnutrition or 95% of death because of overnutrition? Overeating, undereating, overeating. So all these dualities are part of the material world. And those who are getting less, people are supplying food there. Those who are having more, they are trying to diet. So all this material world is, those who have everything to eat, they eat salads. And those who can eat only salads, they want all dry fruits to eat. This is the big fun of this material world. Somehow or other, Krishna makes everyone completely unsatisfied in whatever position he is. Because we are in bodily consciousness. Those who are tall want to become short, those who are short want to become tall, those who are fat, those who are having lot of things, they can means to eat, But they can't, so they have to eat only some salads and some simple things. And those are only simple things, forced to eat simple things. They are also not happy because they want to eat all this other side of the eating menu. So it's in this way, in this material world, or if you see thirst, hunger, fear, this fear is a big element. Insurance companies and security companies, in other parts of the world, these weapons, arms, everyone has arms, big private securities, some big industries have a private security range of 1,000 people, 2,000 securities. Now this is increasing day by day. Fear, disagreement, the court cases are piling up, and sometimes they are settled outside the court, in a sense, not in a nice way, but on their own in some unnice way, they fight each other. And then desire for material happiness. This is the thing which advertisement media picks up. It just makes you make more and more hankering and lamenting for more and more material desires. We see nowadays one girl or boy, I don't know, somebody in 8th standard committed, or 9th standard, something like that, school days, committed suicide or tried to commit suicide. Why? Because during the exam times, her mother took away the mobile phone. She was so disturbed that mobile phone was taken away from me because I am not studying, but instead playing with this phone and wasting time with this phone. That desire to possess all these things and then play with it, enjoy with it, and just spend the time passing some SMSs and tunes and just some things like that, which are not of any ultimate use. Then when that was taken away, that desire was hampered. And modern day media is just probing you from all 100 sides. So how you can increase your desires for sense enjoyment? More and more and more. I want this, I want that. Don't you have this, don't you have that? How can you be happy without having this type of shoes? And ultimately people end up having everything except happiness. They end up with loans also to purchase all these things. They have loans, credit cards, but and because of these loans and credit cards, they have all the facilities, something like that. Take home this car today, pay tomorrow, or something. All these things are there. And then tomorrow you are more miserable because you have to pay for the loan, for the interest, for the fuel, for the tires, and then for the parking space, then for the towing charges. All these things come in. You thought it's very easy, take home today and pay tomorrow, that's all, pay some little low EMI. So this whole material world is just geared up so that they just say you increase your material desires. Prabhupada says this is just like, if we, the Prabhupada gave an example, or I think Srila Bhakti Sanatana told this nice story. There was one landlady, and she was sick, and then there was her maid servant, she was also sick. So suddenly a doctor was called, Vaidya, to look after both of them. As etiquette, Vaidya came in, and then he certainly checked up on the landlady first, because she is the owner, and he checked up. He said, okay, you have got some simple fever and your temperature is only 101. So you have to take only these 3 tablets for 5 days, that's all. And then you will be okay. And then he went on, the maid servant also nearby. He went on and checked the maid servant. He said, she has got 105. And for this, she requires a medication for a month. Hearing this, landlady was very upset. How can this? I have only 101, she has got 105. Make me 107. I want more. I should be more better than my maid servant. In a similar way, in the modern age, they are just telling us, increase your so-called facilities for sense enjoyment. Go here, come on, enjoy. Don't worry of payment. They will come later on. And things like that. Enjoy to your heart's content. So this whole material world is after that. But then, Jada Bharat says, desire for material happiness is followed by attachment for material possessions, and is followed by anger, lamentation. He he's, I think, putting it in a very nice way. Initially, there is desire for material enjoyment, then attachment for possessions of material things, then anger, lamentation, then illusion, and then old age. We spend our life in all these activities, ultimately old age comes up, then we are frustrated, we still want to remain young, then there is another industry for that, for remaining young, to remove your wrinkles, to make your hairs black, or to make your hairs grow if they are not there, and all these big industries there, promise, within 6 months get a result, your hairs will come back, or it will become black, remove your wrinkles, and something. So this whole industry is there. But the whole point is, if we observe these few topics, sthaulyam, karshyam, vyadhaya, adhayascha, the modern day world is completely engrossed in doing only these activities or dealing with these topics, which is called bodily consciousness of life. And Srila Prabhupada or our Vedic scriptures therefore refer to these activities as dvipada pashu. Activities meant only for animals. And in animal society, there can never be happiness. In animal society, there is always quarreling and fear. These two things are there. And therefore, we see in this material world, there is always quarreling going on. And people are therefore always fearful for small reasons to big reasons. On the other hand, Jarasbhadra is saying, I am not affected by all these things. Because I am not in the bodily conception of life. Neither I am fat, skinny or anything you have mentioned. Because he knows. Sometimes we think, who are you? I am Mr. So and so. I am Indian or Gujarati or Maharashtrian or Karnatak or American. And I am male or female. And I am, so you may say, okay, these are very natural. These are bodily conception. You may say, I am engineer, doctor. These are also bodily conception of life. It may not refer to your gross body, but it refers to your subtle body, intelligence. You are intelligent to become a doctor, engineer, lawyer. So these are also bodily identification. I am a big businessman, or I am somebody big in military. These are all bodily abilities. So Jarabhati is saying, I am neither affected by any of these, because all these abilities relate with the material body. On the other hand, I am completely equipoised in all the dualities of this material world. Lord Krishna also instructs that in Bhagavad Gita. I have not done a study, but maybe some of us can do it after our discussion. How many times in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Shri Krishna mentions that a sadhaka or a spiritualist should be equal in so many circumstances. As Radha Gopinath Prabhu pointed out a few days back, in the third word itself, when Krishna starts speaking, he tells, Mataras Parashastu Kaunteya, Sitoshna Sukha Dukkhada, Agama Paino Anitya, Tamsi Tikshasho Bharata. Lord Krishna is not giving some secret formula to remove your Sukha Dukkha, Sita Ushna. What is selling? Tolerate it. Sometimes devotees come to spiritual life and they expect something like some secret formula by which they can remove all these dualities in their material life. But Krishna is not giving any secret formula in Bhagavad Gita. What is telling? Tolerate it. Because they come and then go. Another places Krishna says, Suhun mitraya rudasinam, madhyastha dveshta bandhushu, svadhushu api, samabuddhir vishishyate. That Suhun, be equal to your well-wisher, friend, mediator, enemy, neutral. Now there are various types of relationships or persons. We think this is our friend, he is our enemy, he is obstructing me, he is equal, he is neutral. So Lord Krishna says, be equal to all of them. Then he says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavyastini. Be equal to all various species. Then he says, Sama Loshtama Asma Kanchana. That be equal to a pebble and gold. It may be lying on the road. Sometimes there will be a pebble and sometimes there will be a gold pellet. But Lord Krishna says, be equal to all of them. So Lord Shri Krishna, if you observe in Bhagavad Gita, many times, and he tells us in the end, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kankshati. Many few more incidences are there, where Lord Shri Krishna tells us, to be equipoised in all these dualities of material life, happiness, miseries. But that is not his the instruction. Devotee, Srila Prabhupada says, devotee means he can sit anywhere and chant Hare Krishna. So the instructions which we have received of equipoisedness is referring to the first part of Srila Prabhupada's statement. That is, sit anywhere. When Srila Prabhupada was asked in Hong Kong or Bangkok, somewhere over that part, and he was in one of the best hotels in the city, and the reporter asked, Swamiji, why are you staying in this best hotel in this city in one of the best rooms? I think Prabhupada was walking on the beach or somewhere. Prabhupada said, I can sit in the crack in this land. The land gets cracked. Prabhupada said, I can sit here. But will you come here to listen to me and talk to me? So sometimes a devotee may be over there in the best hotels, in the best rooms. But the point is, a devotee means he can sit anywhere. This is what instruction relates to not getting affected by the dualities of this material world. But that is not the ultimate instruction. This is on the level of Jnana Yoga or Mayavadi or even Buddhist. They want to be equipoised in all the circumstances, like Radha Gopinath Prabhu, or even they say, generally Mayavadis, if we see anything that happens, they always have a small smile on their face without opening the lips. Anything happens, a small smile. Not affected by anything. Whatever happens, you curse them, there's just a small smile. That's good. But that's not the Prabhupada's or Lord Krishna's final instructions. That is a part of it. Devotee means he can sit anywhere. That's a part of it. But another important part is chant Hare Krishna. And that is the most important part of it. That we should be able to sit anywhere. In the desert or in the lush green forest. Any part of it. Or anywhere in this room or anything. We should learn this from cricket devotees. They can be in any situation and listen to the commentary. We see in this Bombay city, sometimes they are running to catch a bus, still they are listening to a commentary. Sometimes they are hanging on the bus like this, still they are listening to a commentary. Sometimes they are standing on the toes in the local train, but still their commentary is going on. Cricket commentary. Under all the circumstances, they are sitting on the computer doing software programming, still commentary is going on. So they can listen to commentary in any condition. Similarly, devotees have to practice to remember Hare Krishna in any condition. They may be, sometimes it appears that material is okay, but it's not the ultimate thing, that sometimes material situations disturb our Krishna consciousness. Ideally, it should not be so. Ideally, just like we take this example of these cricket lovers, they can listen to the commentary completely attached to it. They don't mind standing in the bus. They don't mind sitting in the bus. They don't mind whether they get a window seat or a non-window seat. Whatever, they are just completely into listening to the cricket commentary. Similarly, all this, whether we are standing while we are traveling, whether we get a good place in the bus or train, that should not be affecting our consciousness much. But what consciousness should be completely attached to? Chanting Hare Krishna. That is a devotee. He should be in any situation and he should always remember Krishna's name. Because he should understand this material body which he has, which may be of various designations of tall, fair, black, thin, fat, all these things, intelligent, unintelligent, good memory power, bad memory power, good eyesight, bad eyesight, all these things are there. Rich, poor, strong, weak. He should understand these are only a vehicle meant for transportation. Just like some of us might have come to the temple by taxi. So do you remember which color the seat cover of the taxi was? Or what was the number of the taxi? Or how the driver looked like? Or exactly what was that steering cover on the steering? We did not pay attention to it. Because our aim was to get transported to the temple. So all these, whether the taxi, which tires it has, MRF or some other things. We never paid attention to it. They did not disturb us which tires our taxi has. And you don't come and discuss, see, my taxi has a Dunlop tire, you know. No, my taxi has only MRF tires. Because we know these taxis is only a means for transportation to come to temple. The aim is there and other things are means. a vehicle. Similarly, this material body is a means in human life to go back to spiritual world. In animal life, it's just to take back our karmic reactions. But in human life, it's a means to go back to spiritual world. It's just like a taxi or railway or a bus. We are not proud when we say, we don't discuss like, oh, my bus had a scratch in its painting. You said, no, my bus has no scratch. Very nice. That's not matter. You came from Veti to Chowpatti by the bus. And you have come to Chowpatti and you have come to temple. Whether your bus had a scratch or your bus didn't have a scratch, or your taxi was having good seat cover, or taxi was not having good seat cover, it is not a question of matter. Similarly, in this human life, it is not a question of matter, whether you are fair, black, tall, fat, thin, man, woman, old, young, all these things which are mentioned over here. Now, question of that does matter is, are you remembering Krishna? And are you using this vehicle of human body to go back to the spiritual world? That's what a man should be thinking. Therefore, for this end, sometimes we have to practice these qualities to be equipoised in all these dualities. And therefore, there are various rules and regulations. A devotee should try to wear simple and clean dress. Preferably, like it is said, they should try, generally in yatras and all, like we try to wear, or in temple, we try to wear dhoti kurta. Because how much fashion you can do in dhoti kurta? Even if you want to do some, kurta may have some embroidery, or dhoti may have a thick border. That's what. Nothing more than that. And thick in the sense that the border which is more than an inch thick also doesn't look good. So somewhere in from thin border to thick, 1 inch thick border, or some embroidery over here. That's the basic things which you can do. But if, so therefore, it is, there are so many rules and regulations. A Vaishnava etiquette. But a Vaishnava etiquette's aim is Satatam Smartavyam Vishnu Misvartamayam Nu Jatuchit. We should not be just attached to following the Vaishnava etiquette. We should be, but not only following the Vaishnava etiquette. Following the Vaishnava etiquette should help us in remembering Krishna more and more and more. Therefore, sometimes we see devotees are suggested to keep short hairs, or those who are in Brahmacharya Ashram or Sannyas Ashram, to shave their heads and keep a shikha. Sometimes people ask us, it's okay, but why do you shave your head? Because the whole essence of human life is to decrease bodily consciousness. If we have the hairs, especially long ones, fashionable ones, then there are so many things that distract, that might distract you from remembering Krishna comes along with it. You have to wash it, broom it. If you are more into bodily consciousness, then you have to dry it, not dry it, dye it. If you are attached that your hair doesn't look black or white, something, or you want to appear your hair brown and all these varieties of colors, then you have to comb them, then you have to cut them. So many things. And to do all these things requires some finances. So all these things can divert your attention from remembering Krishna. Therefore, it's advised. It's not that if you shave your head, then you are always remembering Krishna. It's not a formula, but these etiquettes are advised. That these things helps to remember Krishna. But then some of us may be thinking, we are not exactly in a state to shave up our head. So can't we remember Krishna? Actually, it's the two sides of the same coin. Now, just like Jad Bharat, he was concerned with remembering Krishna. He has decreased his bodily necessities to the minimum. We should try to decrease our bodily necessities to a minimum. That can be different from different devotees. And we should not be proud or feeling bad that we are not able to decrease our bodily necessities lower than these. Or we should not be proud, see, he has required so many things for maintaining his body. No, it may be different for different devotees. But us individually should try to decrease our bodily necessities as far as possible. See how much Jad Bharat has decreased his bodily necessities. He did not require anything for self-defense. He was going to be killed and there he had no necessity for to do any defense. Then he was insulted, then there was no necessity for him to go to court and lawyer to file a case for blasphemy or something like that. His necessities were completely minimum. No self-defense, no military, no police, no lawyers, no court. But the point was, he was remembering Krishna. And when he was told to carry palanquin, which is not very easy job, and especially Jarabhadra was never practiced to carry palanquin. Not that he had a lot of practice. But he was just out of the blue. Some people came up once, caught him and were going to sacrifice him. Next time out of somewhere, some people came up and told him to carry the palanquin. He was carrying palanquin, but his Krishna consciousness did not decrease. He was physically carrying the palanquin, but his remembrance of Krishna did not decrease. He was trying to save the ants. He was meditating on the Supreme Lord. That he continued as it is, whether he was carrying the palanquin or whether he was not carrying the palanquin. Similarly, some of us, because of our social etiquettes, we are discussing especially the shaving the heads, may have to maintain hair. But you should learn the art that it doesn't disturb our Krishna consciousness. We may have to cut the hairs, comb the hairs, or wash them. But that should not affect our remembrance of Krishna. That is completely two different level of activities. Our hands may work to maintain our hairs, but mind should always, or soul should always think of Krishna. Just like Jad Bharat's body was working to carry the palanquin, but his consciousness always remembering Lord Shri Krishna. Therefore, it's required. Just like Krishna says, be equal to friends and dukkha and sukha. But his essential instruction is man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. That's what Srila Prabhupada is saying. A devotee means he can sit anywhere and remember Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. So these two types of instructions are there. One is to learn to get away from the dualities of material world, and one is to learn to remember Krishna always. Out of these two instructions, the second one is more important, certainly. And first one is the instruction is helps to follow the second instruction. But for a practicing devotee, we may also have to, like, our effort should be two-pronged. We should not only be attached to becoming equal in this world, completely neutral, unaffected. We should put our efforts also to try to remember Krishna more and more in all the circumstances. Whether we are walking, bathing, kirtaniya, sadahari. But, see, Lord Chaitanya also put his instructions together. What he has told first? Tunadapi suni chena, taro iva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, and kirtaniya sadahari. So we see Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, they give these instructions together. Tunadapi suni, that the first three lines tell us something about being equal in this material world. Not being affected by the dualities. Tunadapi suni chena, taro iva sahishnuna. This is the essence of being ready to tolerate this material world. Then amanina manadena. But then the important instruction is kirtaniya sadahari. But this kirtaniya sadahari instruction is not given just separate, although it is important one. It is given always in connection with this tolerating this material world. Even Jarabhadra is saying, I am not affected by bodily consciousness because I am always thinking of the Supreme. So these both things are given together. So our effort should be together. We cannot, for a sadhana bhakta, we cannot concentrate only on either of the instruction. Although the instruction to remember Krishna is more important. But also you should understand, while following the second instruction, that is remembering Lord Shri Krishna, the first instruction also becomes easy to follow. The example given by our acharyas is just like if there is a small baby. Very small baby, 6 months old. Sometimes baby catches hold of an important document, maybe some legal document, or maybe a 500 rupees note or a 1000 rupees note. And you know, the baby can do anything with that paper, which is very important, either currency or some legal document. It can tear up, put in the mouth, crumble, whatever, and the paper will become useless. So you want that paper to take it from the baby. But if you snatch it, one way is snatch it. But while snatching also, the paper may get disturbed. It may get torn off or disturbed. If you ask the baby to give the paper, will the baby give? Never. If you ask it, she or he will never give. The baby will never give. But then there is another way to give. Take the paper. you offer him something nice, you take a keychain or a pen and dangle it as something in front of the baby, or some, if it is little grown up, then something to eat. And you dangle it in front of him, and the baby's hands naturally go forward to get that thing. And while catching keychain or pen, the baby doesn't give the paper. His attention is not, let me put this paper down and let me catch the pen or the keychain. He doesn't think that way. The baby thinks, let me catch the pen. He only thinks, let me catch the pen or keychain or some biscuit. And his hands goes there. And on the process of catching the biscuit, the paper falls off. And you pick it up. The baby is not conscious that the paper is falling off, or let me keep the paper down, or let me just throw away the paper. His effort is only to catch the biscuit. His effort is only to catch the pen. But while doing that action, the paper falls off. Similarly, if we follow the second instruction of remembering Krishna, while doing that instruction, automatically the first instruction is followed. Just like if we actually remember Krishna 24 hours a day, with full heart and attention, automatically we will be equipoised in all the material dualities. They won't disturb us. Just like we take this story in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. Lord Chaitanya was touring once South India, and he went to the city called Dakshin Mathura, and nowadays it is called Madurai. In that place there was one Brahmana. He was a devotee of Lord Ram. He was a great devotee, and seeing Lord Chaitanya doing kirtan in the city, he invited Lord Chaitanya. Today you come to my house for lunch and alms, please come. So Lord Chaitanya went to his house in the afternoon, noon time, for lunch time. And when he came to the house of this Brahmana, he saw that nothing is ready. Hardly few ingredients have been collected, that's all. Not even all the ingredients. And Lord Chaitanya, what is this? You invited me, but nothing is ready. He answered, see, Lakshman has gone to forest to get the ingredients, so he is getting a bit delayed. Please wait, when Lakshman comes back with all the ingredients, Mother Sita will cook and then we'll have the prasadam. Lord Chaitanya was, although he did not get the prasad, he was Supreme Lord, but he was happy to hear this consciousness of the Brahmana. Then after a few hours, the Brahmana was, after some time, Brahmana started talking. It's so bad. After some hour, the Brahmana, some other, cooked something, whatever he had, and offered to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya accepted whatever alms he got. But Brahmana did not eat. Lord Chaitanya said, why you are not eating? Please, you also honor prasadam. He said, no, there is very sad news. Mother Sita has been stolen by that demonic Ravan. And I am not able to do anything. I am helpless seeing my mother Sita being stolen by demonic Ravan. My heart and soul is burning. But still I am not able to give up my life. So I will be fasting today. So Lord was very happy to hear this. But Lord Chaitanya told him that actually you see, this mother Sita which was stolen by the Ravan was not original mother Sita. That was illusory mother Sita. Because mother Sita is spiritual. No mundane materialistic person can even touch her. Cannot even go near her. What to speak of touching her and kidnapping her. No mundane person can kidnap or touch a spiritual body. Mother Sita was certainly a spiritual. She was an eternal resident of a spiritual world. So there is no case that Ravan can touch or kidnap the original Mother Sita. So hearing this, this Brahmana was a little bit pacified, and to honor Lord Chaitanya, he accepted little prasad, but still he was always in a sorrowful state that, oh, Mother Sita has been stolen away by Ravan. So from Madurai, then Lord Chaitanya came down to Setu Bandh, or what is today there called Rameshwaram. There he saw few Brahmanas discussing Kurma Puran amongst them. And in that Puran, a reference came that actually Mother Sita, the real Mother Sita was taken away taken away by Agni Dev, the fire god. And when Ravan came, fire god put an illusory Mother Sita in front of Ravan, and Ravan was bewildered or fooled, thinking that he is taking the original Mother Sita, and he took away the illusory Mother Sita. So when Lord Chaitanya heard a scriptural reference of this incident, he became very happy. He requested the Brahmanas over there to give the original copy of Kurma Puran, and he requested them to make the copies, two few more copies of the manuscript, and keep with them. And he wanted to take the original to show it to this Brahmana in Madurai. So that when he sees the original copy, which is very ancient, he will be satisfied. So then Lord Chaitanya again came back to Madurai and to this Brahmana in Madurai showed him, see, this is Korma Purvan reference. And seeing this, he was very happy. All his sorrow went away. And then he honored the prasadam. So we see here in this case of Madurai Brahman, just being Krishna conscious or conscious Supreme Lord Ram, he was a devotee of Lord Ram, he was completely aloof from material influences of hunger, fasting, thirst. He was not affected by these things, just as we are saying. Just as we get attached to Krishna, other material things fall off. Just like child tries to pick up the pen or biscuit, his other things in the hand fall off. Similarly, this Brahmana from Madurai, he was always thinking of Lord Ram and Mother Sita. And just by thinking of Lord Ram and Mother Sita, he has crossed over the dualities of this material world. Fasting was not troubling him. He was beyond all these things. At the same time, when he heard the news that Mother Sita was illusory, he ate, but his Krishna consciousness continued. So a devotee is not affected in either case. A devotee, he just allows the material body to act. They may allow their material body to do the job of a warrior, a businessman, an employee or a housewife. These material activities just go on. They just pass on. Like a rising of sun and setting of sun. They just pass on. With every rising of sun and setting of sun, this activity also moves in a cycle. We wake up, we take bath, we brush ourselves, we dress ourselves. Those who are working, they go to the office. Those who are doing home, they cook in the home, clean the home, maintain the home. They do deity worship. Then they travel back to the home. They purchase vegetables. So this whole cycle of rising and setting of sun or bodily activity cycle move on. But our aim should be to remember Krishna. When our aim is to remember Krishna, all these dualities, they just go off. But at the same time, while doing sadhana, bhakti, because we are not able to remember Krishna, we should also try to put an attention to some little bit, a little attention to conquer over these dualities of material world. And Srila Prabhupada says, if human society doesn't try to do this, then certainly it's animal society. And animal society, there is no happiness and pleasure. Hare Krishna. Any comments? There are many senior devotees. Raghunath Prabhu, Nadji Prabhu, Sachinand Prabhu. So, any comments or doubts if you have? Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki,